Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 23rd episode of the 5-Minute Major Podcast, St. Louis. We hope everyone had a great week and weekend. Josh and I went out, we saw a concert, Cody Johnson, and then we saw the Blues play Dallas. Yeah, it was a good time outside of us not scoring a goal against Dallas.
I felt bad. My buddy Nick was in town. He didn't even get to see a freaking goal scored by the Blues. Good Lord.
Didn't even get to sing the goal song. We'll get into all the recent games shortly. It's just been frustrating, as we've mentioned before. You know, we're still doing okay, just better than we were at the beginning, but still not good enough in our eyes. So we'll run through those games. We're going to update you on the Rantanen trade. I know that's a hot topic right now. And then we'll run through some standings just in the Central and the wild card race for us. Some pressing topics around the Blues, you know, players that might get traded around the deadline if we keep stinking it up. And then we'll run through some updates with the minor league players and our prospects. How are you today, Josh? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Yeah, doing well. Glad to see we're got our weekend to kind of recharge after a busy weekend. But ready to talk some hockey and talk about this 500 hockey club that we have here, okay? Yeah, that is our team right now for sure. 500 hockey to a T.
Yeah, and we signed up for it.
Heck yeah, baby.
I'm doing all right, too. On the job hunt still, which is great. It's always fun.
Day by day.
And, yeah, just tired. I took today off. We're recording on a Monday, everybody. Sunday just was not going to happen,
yeah.
Especially with football going on and all that. Hate to see the Chiefs won. Sorry, yeah. KC fans.
Sorry, KC fans, but I really wanted Buffalo.
Dude, same.
Let's go Eagles. Eagles fans now, baby.
You're wearing the Eagles green.
Yeah. That's where we're at right now. My Lions are out, so therefore I will pick anyone but the Chiefs.
We're backing up the St. Louis faithful, baby. all right, let's get into the Rantanen trade. This was, like, unbelievable. We were at the Cody Johnson concert, like, not even paying attention to the opening acts. We were like, holy crap, like, is this actually happening right now? There were so many things going around. We're like, who's leaving? Who's coming in? Who's retaining that much salary? And little do you know, our arch nemesis, the most idiotic franchise, the Chicago Blackhawks, come in as a third team. They obtain a third round pick out of it. They retain half of Rantanen's salary for him to go to the Carolina Hurricanes. And they also send out Taylor Hall. Now, they do get the $6 million off from Hall, but they just take in another $4.5 million. So really, they're only saving $1.5 million. And like, what's the purpose for Chicago? I don't know.
It shows that the trade value on Taylor Hall was that substantially bad. He was less than a first round pick, and the only way you got less than a third round pick, and the only way you got that pick was retaining 50% of salary.
Right. And props to Colorado, man. Like, I don't know how they were gonna get Ranton in the offseason anyway. Because he probably was gonna get at least 12. But they didn't want to pay him more than McKinnon. There's no way.
Yeah.
And that's probably kind of where things kind of halted with money talk. So Carolina and Colorado, I say they both benefited. Like, Carolina's on a cup run potential team again. They just got one of the best forwards in the league for practically nothing. I mean, you trade away your you know, player who's kind of popping off in Natchez, but I'd say Rantanen's better for sure. If you're able to sign him after the season, I think you win the trade. Colorado, they don't need Rantanen. They don't. They get Natchez, who's way cheaper and is producing at a high level. He gets to play with McKinnon, and anybody that plays with McKinnon is going to be amazing. So yeah. I'd say Colorado also kind of wins it too. They get a high caliber top six forward for cheaper, and they can keep running with their system of score, 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 and win 5-4 every game.
Hey, all I'm going to say is Carolina, bold move.
Really bold. man, it's so wild.
But you have to like re-sign like over a half of your line, like lineup next year.
Yeah. So,
this is make or break. You got Aho locked up. You got Svechnikov locked up. You got Seth Jarvis locked up. But that means you got Kokuniemi, who you're paying more money than he should be getting. But you got to sign Rantanen, who wants 14 plus million. And I say plus, he wants more than 14 million, folks. And that's a lot of money to give a single player.
But do we know that he wants that? Like, there's quotes going around that though. Maybe he wanted to take a pay cut to stay. Like, but how much was the pay cut? Was
that's
it
from true.
15 to 13?
Yeah. And so, they're kind of saying it was a shady trade, though. They didn't tell him until the day of the trade. Like,
I feel like that kind of happens, though. You can't blame the GM for that. Like,
yeah.
They're doing, I doubt Doug Armstrong is 100% transparent when he's going to trade someone a week before. He might not know till that night.
That's true.
So it's like, I don't blame Sakic or whoever it is, you know? I think both teams are going to benefit, obviously. I mean, Rantanen gets to play with Aho, man. That's like his Finnish best friend.
Yeah.
And they're going to do crazy things. Hall gets to play more playoff games, and he's a former Hart Trophy winner.
Which is crazy. He's getting paid $6 million. I think he will go down as a decent player, but he was never worth the high draft pick I think that he was.
Yeah, I think he was first round pick, maybe top 15 pick.
Yeah.
Player. I mean, he's still solid. He won a flipping Hart Ross trophy a Hart trophy and carried the Devils to the playoffs that year. So I'd say he's worth $6 million. I mean, I don't know about right now, but he was maybe even worth more that back then. So I don't know. I think Natius is going to do what he's doing in Colorado. And yep. I think Rantanen is going to do what he's doing in Carolina. And I don't even think those were the issues that those teams had.
No.
I think the issue still stems from the back end in Carolina. Their goaltending situation has been up in the air for years. And I'm not saying that's the reason they lose. I think they're cursed.
I don't think Carolina's done in the trade market.
They need Freddie Anderson, if he can stay healthy. Great.
If Freddie can stay
healthy, cup run for sure.
Or you're going out and you're going to trade for Gibson and you're going to ride it out.
Yep. Sure. If you can get Anderson, who's injury prone, and get Gibson in there instead or whatever. I don't know. I just that's where the issue stems from for them. For Colorado, they have 60 points. They're 5 points, or they're pretty close to being third in the Central still. Like, they just don't know how to not be in the playoffs, even with the Wood goalies.
Yeah.
I don't know. That team's just disgusting. So we'll see what happens with them. I'd say Carolina right now wins it because Rantanen and Hall are going to really help you.
Yeah.
Because Colorado, no matter what, they really don't need Natchez. They just kind of got a bunch of money off the books and got a solid player to fill in. So,
yeah.
Just nuts. Absolutely bonkers trade. No idea it was happening from a fan perspective. Those are the teams that I had no idea would ever talk to each other about a trade. And Chicago, yet again, stays making people upset.
Yeah.
So
I think it's about to be a fire sale in Chicago. I think they're realizing this retool is a lot farther off than I think. It's really a rebuild.
Well, no, it is a rebuild. Yeah. I think they know that. I think maybe the Chicago fans in Bedard is starting to be like, I don't like this at all. This sucks, man. Like, I want to win. Like, Bedard is a robot. He's like Sidney Crosby, man. Like, he came in and wanted to win, and Crosby did. Bedard's not. So we'll see. Yeah, they need to go out. They need to get rid of all their crappy old man contracts. Just trade them all to playoff teams for a bunch of picks and prospects and just run the kids until they figure it out together.
There's two players I want off this team so bad.
Name them before we get into the recent game.
Teuvo Teravainen, I would take. 30 years old, making $5.4 million. We got him for 3 more years. He's a center. He's a left-wing shot. Or he's a left-handed shot. I think would be great on this roster. I also think Ryan Donato, who we've talked about in the past, is only making $2 million and would help this team substantially. That being said, we'll get into trade talks. I don't think we're going to be adding. I think we're going to be subtracting.
Yeah.
I think it's the honest truth here. Unless you're adding something that's going to help us long term. And I don't see a Seth Jones waiving a trade clause or worth taking that contract on of $9.5 million. And I love Seth, but he is just a shell of himself now. And it would take them eating half of that contract for me.
At least.
And then taking a Falk or someone back in return.
Right. So they would be losing that trade 100%.
Yeah.
No matter what, they should be losing that trade.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the Blues' recent games. The ones we're going to tell you about are the back-to-back to against Vegas and the Stars game this past Saturday on the 25th. It's currently the 27th of January when we're recording, so it'll be the 28th when you're listening, and the Vancouver game will be over, so we'll be tweeting about it. Gotta win. Yep. Okay, January 20th. We are in Vegas after a brutal loss to Utah. Vibes are super low. we know the story. You know, the Blues came out and played pretty good, I'd say. Yeah. They took a 4-2 lead going into the last period. They ended up blowing the lead on 2 6-5 goals. Heart pounding. Fans are frustrated. The whole nine yards. Goes to overtime. There's some, I mean, Eichel literally had a, was this the game or was that the home game? I can't remember. No, this was the game. He had a wide open net in overtime and missed. Yeah. I mean, it was like 98% of the net open. He missed the net. We ended up going to a shootout and winning. Thank you, Binnington, for saving all the shots. Overall, Shen Line, great game. They're buzzing. That's our first line right now. But we did get points from everybody. I mean, Walker scored. Fowler scored on the power play. Broberg got an assist. Bush got an assist, I believe. So, overall, decent game. Got to tighten up in those last minutes of the game to protect a two-goal lead. Worst lead in hockey. Blocked a lot of shots. Scored on the power play, like I said. Woo. I don't know what you have to say about this.
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating because we have games where we play Minnesota where we have a lead, we blow it. We blow a lead in this game yet again, and it's like we were lucky to get 2 points out of this, guys. Like, this is the frustrating part about being a Blues fan right now, is that the inconsistencies or the inability to just finish off a team, and yet again, that is what we're faced with here. We could not finish it off, and it's just mind-boggling. But like Mike and I were saying before we started recording, we're a 500 team. We're in a retool. Help is on the way. But with that help, like, there's still some major gaps this team is going to have to fill to be a true contender. And I think the capital that we have will help us get there.
Yeah, and Doug Armstrong, he'll have to pull some strings here if he wants to start competing within the next 2 years. I don't know if it's going to be the caliber of an O'Reilly type trade, but it's going to have to be something decently big.
Decently big, and fans are going to be upset because probably the prospects that you love are going to have to be used to acquire something. Because, yes, we have a lot of guys that are coming that are good pieces, but we don't have that superstar. And I know the Blues have never been a team with that superstar, but let's be honest, Tarasenko was a superstar for this team that if you needed a goal early in that career, you put him on the ice and he was going to go get you a goal. And we just don't have that right now.
And I'd say Pietrangelo was a superstar. Yeah. I say O'Reilly at the time was a superstar. So I'd say, not grade A superstars, but one step lower. But I don't know, man. Just an interesting game. We ended up winning, though. So 2 points is 2 points for us right now. Like, that is huge. Who cares if Vegas got a point out of it? We don't care about them.
Yeah.
They're going to get first in the Pacific. So, okay. 2 points in Vegas. Let's go home and play Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, Monty's so funny, man. He always comes out and does this rock song thing, and we're all hyped up going into it. We get scored on 20 seconds into this game. Now, it was kind of a mishap play, kind of fluky. Stone comes in, buries it. I mean, when Stone scores, you just get instantly upset.
Yeah.
But we only had 17 shots this game.
Yeah,
Vegas.
That was.
Yes. It was awful. Vegas decided, well, let's just play our game. And that is the most frustrating type of hockey to watch as the opponent. They are so good at clearing the middle of the ice, keeping you to the outside. I mean, goaltending was solid for them.
Yeah.
Just annoying. Super annoying. Vegas ends up winning 4-2. Our PK, it's another point.
I brutally managed.
I think they're trying to do like a diamond,
which is not
a two
well
and two, and we have one player kind of rotating all around on the top of the ice, and that costs us so much. Like, you saw Thomas was overextending far onto the boards almost, and then that pushes the rest of the team onto the puck strong side, and it leaves the weak side completely wide open.
To this year, the weak side has killed us. It killed us in this game. It killed us in Dallas.
Yeah,
like it's blatantly there, but it's like there's no easy solution. And we're not telling you we're coaches here, but like we're couch coaches, as you can say. It's just frustrating because I don't know if it's a coaching philosophy. I don't know if it's players not buying in. I just don't know if we're just slow. It's just mind-boggling, and it's frustrating as all get out.
I mean, I'll tell you right now that we're pretty slow. That was Bush and Thomas on the PK, and Dorofeev just had a free lane to the front right side of the net. Bush was like four people lengths away from him, and he tried to get back, but he's got lead in his skates.
Which is weird.
And he dove and wasn't even close still. So
yeah,
that's just bad positioning.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And I mean, as much as you can teach it, the players have to take like the teachings and put it into action.
Yeah.
Bush isn't a power play killer, man.
I don't know though. Killer. Like he was when he came here. That was his thing. He is
maybe it's a mental thing.
A defensive minded forward with great two way upside. And right now he just looks like a shell of himself.
Well, you'd think that a guy who's about to get paid $8 million for 6 years would put in a little more effort, buddy. And he's not. So that one cost us too. Just killer. We ended up pulling the goalie, scoring it to make 3-2. We had possession for a lot. In the end of this third period, we barely got like two shots.
Yeah.
In like 3 minutes of zone time. Again, credit to Vegas, man. They're a cup contending team. Again, Jack Eichel's so sick. And
cup contending team that has been struggling, and the Blues cannot capitalize on teams that have been struggling. A Utah team we couldn't capitalize. A Vegas team we couldn't capitalize. And it's just infuriating.
Yeah, but we go out and beat Calgary back to back.
Yeah.
So again, 500 back and forth. Who's not putting in 100% of effort every game? Don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we do, but I don't think we should pick on players right now on the podcast because it might end poorly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, 1-1. Here we go again. We're still at home though. This is only our third game of the week. And Dallas, actually, Vegas flew from St. Louis down to Dallas. Played a playoff style game and barely lost like 4-3. Like it was a great game. Dallas comes up to play us in a back-to-back on Saturday. Oh, great. You know, Blues, we had so much rest. Another home game. Monty's got us fired up with Thunderstruck. 0 goals. Shut out against Casey DeSmith. 2-0 Stars. I just want to make the point that the Stars and the Knights are like the most similar teams in the league, in my opinion. Yeah. They are clear as day, defensive, heavy. You don't even notice it. They pick on you a little bit. They do just enough to piss you off to draw penalties. They push you to the outside, making goaltending that much easier. And you want to know why Ottinger is so good. It's his defense on top of him being a Vezina caliber goalie. And it's fun to watch. Like, as much as I hate it, it's fun to watch if you're a fan of Dallas Stars. Like, if you're an opponent, man, it's so frustrating. So frustrating. Middle of the ice was completely covered. We did get 33 shots on net. I'd say 6 of them were quality.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were
for the posts.
Right.
The posts don't count either. So we had like 5 posts.
Oh man, we were at the game and I did the half stand up at least 4 times. Broberg hit the post on a free shot in the slot. Joseph had a tap in post on Thomas's first good pass of the game. Yep. Shen fanned on the puck 3 times in the slot. That was frustrating. I mean, our goaltending wasn't even bad. It really wasn't. You maybe make a save on that first goal, Benny, where it gets squeaked by Shen and Pareko. He gets kind of like a half breakaway. I think Benny kind of got caught. You could maybe make a save there. Other than that, your team's got to score. Now Walker not in the lineup kind of, I feel like, did something mentally.
Yeah.
I think Neighbors feels like he has to take over in the physical game when this happens. He did. He got penalized for it. Horrible call. Yeah. Other than that, we get scored on the PK again. And who else here? Neighbors can't fight everyone. Walker needs to be in the lineup. Torpchenko, where are you, bud? I see you driving the net, getting chances. You got to score, man. Like, you got to put one in. You're getting too close to the goalie when you're driving the net. Like, maybe cut back. Get a little backhand on net. Do something.
Well, the whole thing, though, like,
hasn't scored in, like, flipping 30 games.
Torpy was driving the net and being able to get the puck up. This year, it's like he can drive the net but can't get the puck up to get that power move kind of goal. And then Sonny, I'm sorry. It's just, it's, it's, I love you as a person. I love you as a player from the Stanley Cup run back in 2019. I love you as being a dedicated member to the St. Louis community that loves this team. It's just not there anymore. You're a fourth line player having to play a lot of minutes. And I give you the credit that you are just out there nonstop. But I feel like this season, opposing players have gotten under your skin more than I've ever seen in your career. And I think it's because you're just struggling to keep up with the game. But I it's frustrating because I don't want to talk bad about him. Because I know he came back here and he wanted to be here and he loves it here. But you're a fourth line kind of guy, or you probably would benefit from being back on the wing. Not having to play the heavy minutes in the center of the ice would probably make you a better player again. And it's just, we're in a hard spot.
I can agree with that. I wouldn't even say it's his fault. He puts in the effort. He's just slower. And when you're slower, you take penalties. No. That's just the way it is. He's got two knee surgeries or whatever. Yeah. And like, I wouldn't say it isn't an effort thing. I just think it's the way the team's built right now. He gets paid $1.5 million. You got to play him. It's just, if we had another center, maybe he is on the wing and it makes more sense, you know?
He's not empty. The tank's not empty the whole game because he is going at 100 miles an hour for what he can do. And he's a selfless player that is what you need in a locker room and what every team wants. But we're just like, he's having to play up right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the current situation of our roster build.
Exactly.
And it's hurting him.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of bottom 6 guys again and not a lot of top 6 guys.
Well, what's the big deal with playing Joseph and Texier more and then maybe throwing him down on the fourth line and, you know, sitting Torpchenko for a game? Like, I mean, I hate sitting Walker. I don't think he should ever sit. But anyways, it's just kind of bulky down there right now. It's unfortunate. Bottom 6
is not providing any scoring really. Like, that's
Walker's feel like it's the only one that puts one in. I mean, Joseph should have had one in this game. It was wide open net and he hit the post.
And like we talked about, power play goal off a stupid penalty.
And bad call.
Bad call. And weak side goal.
Yep. Wide open.
And here's the thing. Like, it's getting hard because Binner played an okay game, I'd say. Binner kept us in that game to an extent. But also we're at the point, he's got to steal us a game every now and then. And I don't think I've been able to say lately that he has stole us a game.
Like, I agree.
He hasn't stole us a game. Hofer has not stole us a game. Like, the goaltending that we need right now is just average. And average doesn't get you into the playoffs when you're trying to squeak in through a wild card spot.
Tell that to the Avalanche, buddy.
Well, you know.
But average, they have Nathan MacKinnon, had Rantanen, and have Makar.
Well, so. And we're going to talk about it here in the standings. We say they're average. But they have 60 points. They're only 2 points out of the last.
No, I know.
Spot. So, like,
I'm just saying when they had Georgiev.
That's true. But it helps when you have guys that are going to score four exactly. or five goals a game. And you're like, well, we can give up three every game or four.
They play the game differently.
Yeah.
It's faster. They score a lot of goals. All right. Let's get back to this game and wrap it up. Yeah, we got to start scoring just in general. Yeah. We have been. This game, these past two games, bad. Kind of in a decline. We won a lot of the faceoffs. We won the hit battle. We won the shot battle. Just couldn't convert.
It was bad puck luck.
It really was. It was a game that you should have won. You fan on shots, you hit post.
And you don't score power play goals.
But to me, the first period was abysmal. And then you can't climb back. Yep. You can't, like, don't go down early. Yep. Don't go down early.
Within the first 5 minutes, you're already having to take your time out because your coach is pissed at you.
Yeah.
And I think Monty, I feel like, is starting to get angry with guys' efforts.
And I think Shen attested, like, he mentioned it. Mm-hmm. He goes, if you're, like, some guys just aren't coming. He pretty much said not everyone is coming to play 100% every night. And it sounds so familiar.
Yep.
Extremely familiar. You know, let's go back a couple of years. The past 2 years with Berube, everybody. Same thing. What's the issue? Who is it? We won't name names because they make too much money.
Yep.
And we're stuck with them, which I don't think is a bad thing because they produce points. They just need the... Wake up. Go see a sports psychologist.
Yeah, Patrick, like, Berglund did it. Perron did it. Like, they all had to do it at one point.
It's okay to not be okay. Yeah. Just go talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe the Blues need to freaking provide somebody.
It's like Ted Lasso, where they had to bring the sports psychologist in to fix their team.
Isn't Jack Eichel like a huge...
Big advocate for it.
Him and a couple other like huge names. Yeah. Are like, yeah,
Matthews has used it. Like,
talk to this woman or this guy, and they completely helped me out. Golfers do the same thing. Yeah. Wyndham Clark, he's a flipping major champion. He was all scrambled in the brain, and he started talking to this lady, and it helped him so much.
Yeah.
And maybe you need that. I don't know what it is. New generation of hockey, you expect the skills to be the thing that talks for you. You don't realize that the things that happen in your head can play such a pivotal role in a team sport. It happens in every sport.
It's like getting the yips. Like, you can't hit a... Like, baseball players get all the time.
Yep.
Where you're like, you're 0 for 15. You're like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I choke
what
up.
What do I need
than,
to do?
What do I need to do? And then you're just like, well, if I change this, then I change this, I change this. It just starts this cascade effect that I think this locker room is going through. Sometimes. And it's not to say that this locker room is not a close-knit one, because I think they really do support each other. But you don't have that superstar guy, or you don't have that vocal guy that can just solve the problem. And I think you used to have guys like that, of a Ryan Reeves, who could just like fix the locker room. Or
chirp you until you feel bad about it.
Or and you're like, you don't have the guys that'll be like, you know what, I'm done, and fight each other in practice. Stanley Cup run. You had a fight.
Like, thanks, Bobby Bortz.
Yeah, Bobby Bortz. Like, I just don't know if the culture of this locker room almost shifted too young, or the veterans they have are just kind of lackadaisical, or what's going on. And it's very confusing. It's a very confusing dynamic because this team shows you so many glimpses of just a phenomenal hockey team and then just forgets how to play hockey.
Yeah.
And I worry you bring the young guys into that culture. What's that going to do to them?
That's what I was going to say. That is something you can't happen. Can't let happen.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that you have a good set of vets, man. Like, and I think we do. And I just think that the new leadership that's coming in needs to tighten it up a little bit, which is fine.
Yeah.
Dude, we're still lucky. Like, we're competing for a playoff spot. Right now it's barely, but we are. We have point per game players on our team. We still have Binnington, who's the best to ever wear the blue note. Yeah. Montgomery's our coach. Like, I don't know.
The pieces are all starting to line up. It's just, it's a little bit of a jigsaw puzzle right now, and we're trying to still build it.
Well, I don't want to keep just going, but I don't know how people can sit there and keyboard warrior their way to blaming like Shen or, you know, anybody of that caliber. Like, if you don't think he's a good captain, man, you're just messed up in that. Yeah. He's 100% effort every game. He's finally producing points because he's playing with two of our best players,
yeah,
young talent, and he's constantly supporting the community. He's constantly, I don't know. Anyways, you can't pick one player right now. That's stupid.
Yeah.
You have to just step back and calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's okay to have an opinion, but sometimes you're wrong. So yeah. Time to wake up as fans.
All right. I can't agree with you more. It's just, it's frustrating. But
it is. It is. That's what it is. That's what it stems from, is frustration. So I do understand it.
Yeah.
Not saying
we are frustrated just as much as you guys are.
Yeah.
And we are watching every single game like a lot of you. And it's just a roller coaster ride.
Yep. And that's what makes it so hard.
Yeah.
I wish it was easy, like being a Vegas fan.
Oh, yeah.
Florida fan. Oh, it'd be so easy.
But everyone goes through their waves. But
oh,
it's
yeah.
Fine.
Florida
it's
sucked for their entire existence.
But here we are.
Great. Okay. Let's get into more happy. Well, never mind.
Well,
let's just get into more.
Yikes. All right. So the central standings here. So Winnipeg still sitting in first with 71 points.
Dominating.
Dallas. Yeah. Winnipeg still dominating, and they had a bad stretch there, and they still have 71 points. So good to you. And man, do we owe y'all an apology, because we did
not
think you'd be this.
All
right. Well, Mike's not apologizing. I'll apologize for us, because good Lord, we said you guys were going to suck.
True.
Dallas, consistent, built for the playoffs, 63 points. Minnesota, which has their holes, but also has Krill of the Thrill, sitting in third with 62 points. And then you jump down to the wild card, where the Blues are racing. Colorado has the first wild card spot locked up. I'm sorry. Like, it's going to come down to the Wild versus Colorado for the first wild card spot there.
Might even be Dallas.
It might be Dallas, yeah. So there is a 3-point gap from second in the Central all the way down to the first wild card spot, and they're all pretty close in games played. So people are starting to catch up in games played, which is huge. Minnesota sitting in third. Colorado sitting first in the wild card spot, followed by the Flames, who have 55 points sitting in second. They're 5 points out of the first spot. I don't see them catching the Avs. But this is where it gets interesting for us Blues fans. Flames have 55 points. The Blues do have a tiebreaker on them in games played against them that will help us down the road if we get to that situation. Vancouver sitting in the third spot, right outside the wild card window with 52 points. Followed by your Blues in fourth with 50 points. And then, let's be honest, Utah is coming for us. They have 49 points and are starting to play good hockey again. And it's all starting to bunch up there in the 3, 4, 5 spot. But the Blues had so many opportunities to take that second wild card spot, and we did not. So we deserve where we're sitting right now. I'm sorry. We deserve it. And that's my soapbox of the day. We are a 500 hockey team who has not been able to capitalize on the opportunities to make that jump. And a lot of that goes to the inability to win three consecutive freaking hockey games. And it's infuriating. I'm losing my mind over it because I look at it every night and I'm like, oh, we're right there. We're going to make it. Nope. We are now sliding backwards, which is not a good thing at this point. And Four Nations tournament's coming up. Decisions will have to be made. Are we selling? Are we buying? Are we staying still? And a lot needed to happen in this month of January that did not happen for us. We did not play a great month of January. We played an average January. And our schedule only gets harder from this point on. And Blues fans really kind of getting skeptical that we have any shot of making the playoffs right now. And it is what it is, but it's frustrating.
I still think we can make it. I love having hope, you know. It makes it that much more interesting, and that's just the way it is as sports fans, you know. 5 points out, we play Vancouver tonight. You win that, you're only 3 points out, and here we go again. So, and then you got to go up to Colorado and play Colorado, man, and that's like, come on. Yep. If Binnington isn't starting that game, I'm surprised. He needs to be in the net in Colorado with everyone booing his ass. Yep. So, I say there's a shot. There's always a shot. You just got to win three in a row. And the Flames got to lose. But we can't worry about that. Yep. Just worry about winning.
It's a group of 500 hockey teams, which is the crazy part.
It
like,
sucks.
Flames are not great. Like, they're decent. Vancouver is a locker room disaster right now, and JT Miller will be traded before this deadline. They're going to keep Pettersson. I think that's the new thing. Pettersson is staying.
I think he
sounds
should.
Sounds like JT Miller is the guy that's going out maybe to Boston. Who knows?
That would be
and
so
then
funny.
The Blues, where you're sitting here, you're going, you have guys that we're going to talk about here heading into the trade deadline. Like, do you keep them? Do you trade off and try to recruit some draft picks, try to restock the cupboard? Or do you like you package some guys now and go get that guy you really want? I mean, the price is going to be higher at the deadline. So you're at this fine line of do we clear out cap at the trade deadline? Bring up the young guys, just ride it out. Let Dvorsky play. Let some of like the Silver Guards or the Koskamakis. I don't think Stenberg's coming up to finish the season, but I think you have some other guys in the HL that bring them up, like Kessel, bring them back up. Like you have chances here to bring up guys and let them play. And you can move up salary and you can go to the free agency and you'd be like, you know what? I want that guy. And I have a blank check. And that guy could be the guy that's the missing piece. What's your number? Come to St. Louis. That's where we are right now. We have a lot of money that is getting ready to come off, but we can move on at a little quicker because I think some of the guys with the no movement clauses and no trade clauses might be willing to move it at this point. And I don't know. It's frustrating. I'm a little heated over it. Mike's keeping the level head today, which is good. But I'm over here just like boiling. My blood's boiling a little bit talking about it.
Well, I could say a lot of really, really negative things, but I'm not.
Hey, I'm proud of you. It's good. One of us has to have the like-minded during this podcast.
I mean, I agree. I think things need to be moved. I think, to name some names, I think Krug needs to retire.
We love him, and we talked about this. Would be a great coach.
Great scout. He's been out there in coaching gear, which is awesome. I think he needs to retire and stay on the team. Like outside of playing, I think Letty needs to go. I think Falk needs to go. I think Sonny, Saad need to go. I think those are the top names. Scotty P too.
Yeah.
Needs to go. And I don't care what we get. I genuinely do not care. I think it needs to be
third,
picks.
Fourth round. Yeah. Third and fourth round picks. Second round picks, like I think only one of these guys, maybe if you package, can get you a second. But I'm thinking you're getting a lot of third, fourths, and fifths.
Yes. And there's here's some ideas. So Brandon Saad is from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The Pittsburgh Penguins are doing something. Dubas is a moron. So he'll take any deal he can get a guy who is from Pittsburgh, I feel like. Send him out there. You might be able to steal a third-round pick for it. Send him out there. That contract is gonzo. See you later. Maybe you could package him up with Scotty P and get more. I don't know. Bye-bye. Matt Joseph, I don't know. I kind of like him. I think he should stay. But, yeah, Saad to Pittsburgh, Letty to anywhere for anything.
And I think that's a deal.
Same with Falk.
The offseason, Letty, because I think his value is at an all-time low with this injury.
He might not even be able to play the way it's been. Like, I don't get it. He's practicing, he's not. He's practicing, he's not. What's the dealio?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. We've done this before on the podcast. It's just we're just throwing names out, hoping we can just get the money out of here so that we can pay for bigger names.
Yeah.
I think one that we'd really need to talk about is Buchnevich, because he's only making what? Almost six, under six right now. In his last year before the new contract hits, he's going to make eight for 6 years. And he's going to be 36, almost 37 by the end of this thing. He's playing like he wants to only make $5 million a year. I don't get it. He seems to be like sneakily getting assists and secondary assists. I don't think he does anything to impact the hockey game at all, besides making a pass on a goal that doesn't matter. He can't PK right now. I don't know what happened to him. He's completely lost it. And I think him playing with Thomas completely does not help our best player.
No.
And Robert Thomas, I think, is feeling it. He's starting to feel frustrated. He can't control the game like he was. And I think the way he passes the puck, he needs to have someone who's always ready to get it and always be in the right spot. Sometimes I notice Jordan Kyrou, hear me out. Sometimes I notice Jordan Kyrou is in the wrong place on the line he's currently on. But Dylan Holloway can bail him out because Dylan Holloway's a workhorse.
But that's the thing. And I think they've talked about it on BK and Ferrario. I think Joey Vitale's talked about it. Your lines, like, yes, the modern day hockey is forwards can be defense can be forwards. But like you look at your offensive lines, you need designated roles. So we can take that Shen, Kyrou, Holloway line. Shen, job is to play more of the defensive aspect. Holloway, he's the hound dog. He's in there. He's fighting in the corners, getting the pucks. And Kyrou's job is to score.
Right.
Let's look at the Thomas line. So right now it's Booch, Thomas, Neighbors.
Or whoever.
Yeah, or whoever is filling the spot Neighbors is in. That spot is like the rotating cycle. Right. So in past, Booch is the defensive guy.
Right.
Thomas is the feeder.
Right. Your hound dog feeder.
Yeah, you can get the pucks in the corner. He gets the turnovers. There's no finisher there. In the past, it was a Tarasenko. In the past, you had Neighbors who was parked in front of the net, but that this line is not designed for that. Or you had Kyrou who was being the finisher up there, but you've seen that line does not work well when Kyrou's there, and you can't break up the Shen line.
I know.
And Saad hasn't been able to be that finisher. Like, you just don't have the finisher right now. And it really makes you wonder is if you clear out enough salary and you bring up enough young guys, there's guys that are going to be free agents that you can give a check to and convince them to come here. Mitch Marner, I know it's a frustrating name and I know we'll have to pay him a lot. He is that guy.
He's cheaper than Rantanen.
Yeah. Nicholas Ehlers from Winnipeg could be that guy to help you. Like, I feel like Mangiapane would be more of a second line guy for you. But like Sam Bennett, you add him as a center and you can move stuff around. Like, I just don't know what else this team needs without going out to a trade with another team. Free agency, which we're not big in spending in free agency, I think we're going to have to. And that being said, you might need to actually spend on your defense this year too. And it's just infuriating in what we're going to do, because they're not having that superstar guy is hurting us right now. And Jimmy Snugger is going to be a great addition, but I don't know if he is that superstar automatic goal scorer for you just yet. Dvorsky is going to be a center on that second line and brings you a lot of benefit, but it's still not a guy that, like, all right, he's on the ice, like, just go score a goal. Like, we're missing that finisher. Tarasenko was that finisher, and I don't think we've had a guy that, like, in your gut, you just know, like, he's on the ice, like, we have a shot, we're always going to score a goal. Holloway has been that this year, but this has been 1 year of that. Kyrou is inconsistently consistent and streaky.
Yeah, he's still a 40-goal scorer.
Still a 40-goal scorer, but, like, also, you just don't have that game-time changer.
I think the point I wanted to make is that Kyrou, as much as you think it doesn't work, the way he skates and is in these kind of gray areas, I think that's what Thomas needs.
Yeah.
I think sometimes I'm like, where are you passing the puck to Robert Thomas? And then I watch Kyrou on the next line and I'm like, it makes sense now. Mm-hmm. He needs someone to just, like, kind of weave his way into these random no-look backhand passes. Or Robert Thomas could stop making them. Yeah. And he could be more direct and stop, like, doing the same play every time he enters the zone. Yeah. Adaptability. And that goes back to this past Dallas game. We shot it into Casey DeSmith's glove 17 times.
Yeah.
Shoot it on the ice. Shoot it low blocker. Find a way. Why are we still shooting it on the glove?
Park in front of the net and look for a deflect.
Get people in, deflect goals. Fox had a nice one a few games ago.
It's infuriating. I don't know if it's the change in modern day hockey that the deflection goal seems like a goal of the past in ways. Because you go back to the mid-2000s, you think of the Sedin twins, you think of David Backes if you want a Blues example. You want to think of another Blues example of Blues great. Big Walt, Keith Tkachuk, made his living parking his big butt in front of the net. Like, I'm sorry. Like, this is where we're at right now, is that we're all about the fancy dipsy doodle wrist shot galore. No, I'm sorry. Hockey is still one. Getting that cross check in your back, but putting the goal in off the dirty trash rebound. And Craig Berube used to preach about it. Kent Hitchcock preached about it. Joel Quenneville preached about it. Like, all of these coaches of the past talked about, go to the dirty air and you'll be rewarded. And that's how guys made a living. TJ Oshie even made a living doing it.
Yeah, like, he had to change his game.
He had to change his game.
Ken Hitchcock was a big reason he changed his game.
Yeah.
Think
of the Stanley Cup run. We were in front of the net.
As much as I hate Zach Sanford, he was in front of the net, dude. Because he couldn't get behind the net fast enough.
And that's the thing I was going to say. You were infuriated by Zach Sanford. But he made a living in front of the net for our team during that playoff run.
Scored a huge goal in Boston being in front of the net because he lets Perron and O'Reilly do their job.
You know? Alex Steen parked himself in front of the net. Take the slap shot from Parayko off Ben Bishop's shoulder. Who was there to finish it? Steen.
That was O'Reilly.
No, the overtime. Well, Thomas also scored one of them.
And we're just, now we're reminiscing.
This is good old days.
I don't think that this team can't win in the playoffs. I think that the mentality needs to change. Like I said before, that's it.
Yep.
But in order to make a splash in this off season, what are we going to do? I think honestly, it's so up in the air, though, because you're still kind of in it. And I think Armstrong knows that he can save some money if he just tries to get Monty to get these guys to perform more consistently.
All I'm going to say is there's two names that I think would solve our problems in front of the net right now. Sam Bennett, who's a free agent in the offseason. Grit, tenacity, fight.
Work, man.
You hate him, but you love him on your team.
Of course.
And then the other guy who is going to be a cheaper option than I think a Foxa and is a St. Louis boy is Trent Frederick. He's a fourth line guy. He can play center. He parks himself in front of the net. He could play third line if he really needed it. But that man right there also goes to the front of the net and will beat the crap out of you if you touch your teammate.
Yeah, I think he's, at this point, he's going to be cheap enough because he can't play right now.
Both of these guys, I think, solve a lot of issues. The other guy that the Blues I don't think will ever go after, but I think would have really helped us, is Charlie Coyle.
Can't stand that guy.
But all these guys you say you can't stand them because they irritate the crap out of you when you're playing against them.
Well, yeah, but Charlie Coyle is not nearly as good as Sam Bennett. And he's old as heck. So,
but it's that fine line of we've always been this team to go hire, get that older guy.
We just did it.
Yeah. Father Time himself, Suter, which I
think he's been better than
advertised. Oh, yeah. Everything you needed and more. And in my opinion, out of all the guys that are going in free agency, he deserves a contract next year.
Give him $800,000.
I have no problem bringing him back.
I agree.
But I also think, and this will be for another episode, I think there will be some coaching changes going into next year. I think Monty's going to have to change up some stuff. And I think it starts with the back end coach. I love Mike Weber, but I don't know if he's the guy. And I do wonder if Steve Ott may get a shot as a head coach somewhere.
I don't think so.
You don't think? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I also like.
I don't even think he's a good assistant coach right now.
All right. Hey, now. We love that man.
He has done nothing to help the power play in PK. Like, what are we doing?
I got nothing. I think the guy I would love for the Blues to just give a shot to get his toes wet in the NHL is David Carlisle. I think he could do some wonders with your offense. I think he'd do fantastic wonders with your youth.
He would.
He's done everything with the World Junior team that you need. He's coached Snuggaroo. He's led a phenomenal team in Denver. Oh, wait, who was the former coach in Denver? Jim Montgomery. Okay. Come on, bud. Well, let's get your toes wet. Not to say he's going to stay with us long term, but I think it would help us in the short run. And you keep some of your veteran coaches there. But
we'll see.
We'll see.
I don't know. We've rambled on long enough.
We've rambled on. I think we'll skip the let's talk hot button topics because I think we've rambled into some stuff.
I think I want to talk about Bolduc, though. Okay, just
that's
for
fine.
A second.
We can open this can of worms, too. I'm here for it.
I don't think it'll last that long, dude.
I got you.
He came out and he got a chance to play first line minutes against Dallas, okay? And finally the fans are happy. Woo, Bolduc's in the lineup. He's so good. He deserves it. Tell me how. He's played everywhere. He's been up and down, scratched. He's in on the third line. He's in on the first line. He's just played with Robert Thomas. They can't get anything going. He got sent down a couple lines. Still can't get anything going. I think he's still too young for us to worry about him playing that much, man. Like, you can't get frustrated that he's sitting.
Yeah.
You just can't. He's 20 years old, man. He's, like, in the same position as a Stenberg and a Dvorsky, in my opinion. He should be playing in the minor leagues. And the fact that people think he still deserves to get a first line chance after the way he played against Dallas is mind boggling to me. I don't think he did anything.
He
skated hard. You know, he's got the effort, right?
Yeah, there's never a doubt of effort on him.
He's got to start connecting passes. you know, stop turning the puck over on a breakout pass. You know, just keep working, kid. But I don't think he deserves to get top line minutes at all. Yeah. Is he going to be available in a trade? It would be a very intriguing offer to some teams, I think, if you are willing to send this kid who has 15 points this year.
Yeah.
So when he did produce, it was great. Now
he has the highest value of players that are potential movers on this team. And we talk about needing that superstar guy. Bolduc is included in that because I think a lot of you would freak out if they offered a Jimmy Snuggerud, a Dvorsky, a Stenberg, Theo Lindstein.
Yes.
Or Lindstein. So, Blues fans, you got to give to make. And Bolduc is that guy, in my opinion. As much as I hate it, and it could bite us in the butt, he could go on to be a 30-goal scorer. Yeah. But
we traded Barbashev. No one's talking about that, buddy.
Yeah, that's the thing.
No one's talking about that. Barbashev on this
team right now, we're doing a whole lot better. And we got Zach Dean for him, who's been injury-plagued, who played a little bit last season for us, had some glimpses of some hope. But the way prospects work is you got a handful of spaghetti. You throw it at the wall and you hope a couple of noodles stick.
Yeah, it's a guessing game. And it's really up to the effort level. Now, like we said, Bolduc, he puts in the effort, man. I'm proud of him. I'm proud of him for sticking it out when he's getting healthy scratched. Like, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying he hasn't done anything that can keep you into the lineup. And now, Sonny, he's not doing anything. Torpchenko, he's not doing anything. Blah, blah, blah. Well, they get paid a lot of money compared. Like, that right there is fourth line level effort. Bolduc, you guys want him to be on the first line. He's got to score. He's got to assist on goals.
Yeah.
And he's not. Yeah. Torpchenko's out there to delay hits, man. Like, as much as we want him to score, that's why he's in the lineup. And if you want Bolduc to be in the lineup, he's got to start scoring some goals when he's out there. Line minutes.
Yeah.
Go out there and score a goal. We needed one.
Here's the other thing, guys. You complain about him not playing up the lineup. Okay. So you play him third line minutes. He's getting maybe 12 minutes a night, 13 minutes maybe. You play him first line, he's getting that heavy minutes. So you guys complain about the Sunnies. You complain about the Torpchenkos. You complain about the Foxes. You complain about the Walkers. Whatever your issue with this team, do you want Bolduc in the lineup playing 6 minutes a game? Because to me, I'd rather him sit up in the box. I'd rather him sit there with Alexander Steen, which is what has been happening, with a laptop, and they watch plays over and over again about how he can get better. Because I think sometimes you got to step back and watch to learn. And the mental reps are just as important as the physical reps in ways in this game. And like many young players, you have the ups and downs. I think Zach Bolduc will be a phenomenal player in the NHL. But it doesn't have to be overnight. And he was forced into a very hard position and that very few players can do at such a young age. He's not a Matthew Knives. He's not a Logan Cooley. He's not a Macklin Celebrini. And he wasn't drafted in those positions. But everyone's acting like he's the second coming of a Tarasenko or like he's going to fix us overnight. Guys, I'm sorry. Zach Bolduc is not that guy. And if you are putting that pressure on him, that is not fair to him whatsoever. Dude, that is the frustrating part.
I think
everyone thinks he can just solve it. And that's not him. And that's okay.
Well, they've seen glimpses of him, like, you know, scoring big goals.
Yeah.
He had a 2-goal game a couple times this year, I think. And he can really bury that 1T. I mean, I would, like I said, just give him credit for sticking it out, man. He's learning. I think the team's just kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
And Thomas really isn't playing as he normally does. Strong on the puck, making smart passes, finding open guys. And I think that's maybe why he didn't produce in the last game.
Yeah.
But if you want him to take over a game, it's not possible.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe once in a blue moon, but not right now.
And everyone's like, well, Dylan Holloway's doing it such a... Okay, well, Dylan Holloway's also
played with Connor McDavid.
Played with Connor McDavid. He's played multiple years in the NHL. of on and off the ice, scratched, right, playing, scratched, playing, got an opportunity. And I know here's the next thing. Well, he's getting the opportunity. Okay. I get that. But we're multiple years in, multiple playoff, deep playoff runs to a Stanley Cup final where he was playing third and fourth line minutes, where you probably didn't even know who Dylan Holloway was. Okay. True. Philip Broberg, up, down, minors, playing on the NHL.
Hurt.
Up, down, hurt, issues, going to the minors, kicking butt. Broberg has done all these things as well, but he had to sit for a while until an injury let him show that he is a superstar.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, the modern day hockey player does not just turn into a superstar overnight unless he's a Crosby or a McDavid.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work that way.
There's a lot of frustration in our voices because we're not mad at anybody for thinking the way they think. Like, we probably think the same way too. Yeah. Tomorrow we'll think the same way. We're like, why is Bolduc playing on the third line right now? Or we'll think like, oh my God, like, why is Neighbors on the first line? You know, we'll think that way. The team isn't set, man. I honestly think Bolduc could be a really good third line player for you once all the young guns are filling in.
Yeah.
And, or second line, whatever. Anyways. I just wanted to talk about him because it's just a rookie being a rookie. He's not, like you said, Logan Cooley. He's not Celebrini. He's not Bedard, like, obviously, duh.
But, he's not a Matthew Knives yet, and that's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure, I don't know anything about Knives' career, but I'm sure he's done it too, man. I'm sure he had the deal with it too. Yeah. And I think Berube is the perfect coach for that kid.
Yeah.
And
I think Berube was the perfect coach for Bolduc as well.
And I think Monty's a good one for him too. I mean, he's constantly encouraging him.
Yeah.
He's constantly saying, you do the work, I'll play you. And he just played him, first line. And fortunately, he didn't do enough. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Now he's on your third line tonight against Vancouver. Is he going to do enough? He's playing with Neighbors. Joseph is centering the line. Sonny's out of the lineup. Is he going to do enough? We'll see.
We'll see.
I think that third line might actually do a lot tonight. Yeah. I think that's a great third line.
Yeah. That's the thing. We'll see. Line has roles. Jake Neighbors can be your net front presence or your gritty in the corner guy. Joseph can be your guy that can play workhorse and defense. That's why he was brought here. He's a phenomenal penalty killer, so therefore he has defensive instinct. He has a Stanley Cup that probably many of you don't realize. So he's done it before. And that lets Bolduc be the guy that can go to the gray area and just put a goal in. And you're never in a doubt in my mind. Am I worried when Bolduc's on the ice that he's not going to play a good defensive game?
I agree. So, I've never noticed him doing anything bad defensively. It's just been like passing a little off, shoot when you can type thing. So
he is a workhorse, and you can look up. They talked with Patrick Waugh about him because Patrick Waugh coached him down the juniors. He has all the talent. It takes him a second to get there, and he's going to get there. And it's all part of the frustration process for retool. Because you want him to either, here's the thing, Blues fans. You can put him on the first line and you can just sit him there. And then we're like, all right, well, we're losing games. So now you can take the rebuild or you can have a retool. There's no fine line in between. We're still trying to be a playoff hockey team because we need to push in the playoffs. We need to make that revenue for our ownership group because they pour every ounce of money and dollar that they have into this city, into this team. And for that, we're not making playoff runs, so they're not making money to help them with that. And that hurts, guys. This team could have just sucked, taken the on the chin, lost the money, and got the high draft pick to hopefully rebuild. But then the team is struggling. St. Louis is not this wealth of money that you can just be the Dodgers of baseball. Like, it's nitty-gritty blue collar. You got good days, you got bad days, you got good weeks, you got bad weeks, but that's who we are. And that's Blues hockey.
Yeah, it's hard when you can't spend the money like some other places, you know. Thanks to the Stillmans and the rest of the ownership group for believing and constantly helping. Thank you to the fans, too, for constantly showing up. we're like such a frustrating hockey team. We're still selling out every game. Like, no matter what, the reason that people feel the way they do about everything, like how we are reacting to things right now, it's all because we all love the same thing. It's Blues hockey, and we all love winning, and we all hate losing, and that's the way it should be. And hopefully the players feel that way too. You gotta love winning and you gotta hate losing. Yep. That's the way you consistently keep a good hockey team. So I think we're almost there.
It's one of the things where, like Mike said, you gotta hate losing more than you like winning.
Yeah.
Because that's how you build a culture that's like, I'm gonna go into the playoffs, I'm gonna fight everyone in my way, and I'm gonna win a cup. Yeah. And if that means we're going 7 games every series, then we're gonna do it. And so we're gonna be exhausted, we're gonna be hurt. But we're going to do it because it's the love of the game.
Yeah, and I think we'll get there. I just want to, one more time, like, we aren't saying fans are wrong. We're not saying we're upset with you or hating on you. We're just having a conversation. Like, it's just the way it is right now. All right, let's move on and get this thing wrapped up. We really ranted.
Yeah,
we needed it though. This was a week and a day of pent up energy. We really needed the rant about some things. So thank you for sticking with us, everybody. Let's hop down to the minor league players. Some guys that we might see at the end of this year. Some guys that we will definitely see within the next 2 years. Just catching up on everything they've been doing.
Yeah,
I'll start with the first couple guys.
Yeah,
since some names I know. I guess I know everyone, but. Bigger names. Dvorsky, 36 games, 12 goals, 14 assists. He's just been consistently pretty dang good in the AHL. Proud of him. Kind of taking over his role down there and figuring it out and how to be a professional in North America. So that's great.
AHL All-Star as well.
Yeah, super stud right now. Kaskamaki, he's played in 39 games. He's got 7 goals and 18 assists. He's just been really consistently good too. Kind of an underrated player in our minor league system. I'd say he might have a better chance than some other players.
Yeah.
So really proud of him. Then you can step in and go with the rest. But
yeah. All right. So you got Jakob Stonsel, who's over in the WHL. He's got 34 games. Had a little bit of a rough spot when he came back at first from the World Juniors, but he's up to 17 goals and 25 assists. His stock is only rising, and the World Juniors has helped him with that. Jimmy Snuggaroo, the guy that we're waiting on, 28 games played. He's got 18 goals, 19 assists. He is a plus 12 on this stacked Minnesota team. That being said, I'm very interested to see how they do in this playoff push here. Matthew Kessel, the guy that started with your Blues, with all the moves, ended up back in the minors due to some contractual things. 17 games played down there. 4 goals, 7 assists, plus 4. Doing everything you need him to be doing in the minors. And doing it at a good level of play. Pretty sure he's playing top minutes down there, being a leader, everything you need. And then this last guy, if you tuned into our last podcast, Mike Meyer did talk to us about this guy. He is a stud in the making. He is Thomas Mrsek. 41 games played, 28 goals and 37 assists. Literally, he's going to be a stud for us. And Mike talked about that. You just got to wait. He's going to take a little bit of grooming and a little bit of getting there, add some size on. But that being said, that was our abbreviated down on the farm. Blue Note Rising. Please, please, please subscribe to it because you can find out about all the Blues prospects. Fantastic articles from a wonderful human being, Mike. And I can't say enough good things about him. We love him. He's supported us a lot. And we just want to return the favor and make sure you guys go look at his stuff as well.
Yeah.
Mikey, another great podcast in the books.
Yeah, a good rant, I'd say.
Yeah, everyone needs a little rant every now and then.
Yeah, you know, and that's the way it is in this hockey world.
Yeah, ain't that the truth.
All right. Much love, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. You'll see this on a Tuesday this week. Sorry for the delay. Hopefully the Blues can pull off a win against Vancouver tonight. You'll see us tweeting about it.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues, baby. Love you guys.